You are listening to the Cycling Podcast at the Giro d'Italia in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner with EF Education First and Canyon SRAM. Today we are in San Giovanni Rotondo.
Gianni Savio, the formation today. Don't say it can't be the same as the previous two
Not
days.
The same. Not the same today. Today, 2-4-2. Two. The riders who don't make the race today. Mattia Cattaneo is our man for overall classement, and Manuel Belletti, our sprinter, today is not for sprinter.
It's not the bomber today.
Not the bomber. The bomber is Francesco Gavazzi, and the second helping the bomber, Andrea Verderame. The two finish, and the other four riders to enter in the breakaway, sure. And to enter in the breakaway is necessary to work all together in the beginning. And so 2-4-2, but in the match will be 2-6, because for entering the breakaway, 6 riders.
Fausto Masnada viene premiato da Fra Maurizio Placentino, padre provinciale della famiglia monastica Sant'Angelo e Padre Pio.
Well, Daniel, that was Gianni Savio, the boss of the Androni Giocattoli team, this morning misleading you about his formation for the day, because they played one up front all day, Fausto Masnada, who won stage 6 of the Giro d'Italia.
He did, Lionel. Deceived us. The formation that I saw on the road was not the same formation that I heard from Gianni Savio this morning. So, you know, we're going to be a lot more sceptical when we get the formation off Gianni in future days. But obviously, he was thrilled, wasn't he? Jogging up the finish line.
We saw him jogging in Bologna the other morning, jogged across the square. He wears a smart suit with trainers.
Just in case he has to break into a
victory sprint,
into a canter at any point.
71 years old, looks good for it, doesn't he?
He does, and he had quite a serious heart attack a couple of years ago. Four or five years ago.
Blimey. And the team sponsor is a chain of toy shops?
Correct.
So what does that make him? The Father Christmas of Italian cycling. I don't know. Well, he was delivered a gift today by Masnada, and, well, Italy celebrating because that's the first Italian stage winner of this Giro and the first pink jersey of this Giro for Italy as well. Valerio Conti is the new leader of the race after, well, we speculated yesterday, didn't we, that today would be the day that a big powerful break would go clear, and that is what happened.
And Conti is a rider who, if you see him in a break, you generally think that break has got a decent chance, because he's made breaks like today's a bit of a speciality. When he turned pro, and people thought he was going to be one of the big new GC hopes for Italian cycling, guy who produces a lot of watts and is quite impressive in physiological tests, has not necessarily managed to squeeze the most out of his potential so far. But, you know, he's got form, hasn't he, in these breakaways. He won a stage in the Vuelta a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think he's going to be quite a hard man to dislodge now, certainly for the next week.
Indeed. Well, my name's Lionel Burney. That's Daniel Freeb. Hello, Daniel. And
hello.
We are in San Giovanni Rotondo in the eastern side of Italy, sort of two-thirds of the way down.
More than that.
So this is a proper south.
We're in the deep south. And we've seen a strange phenomenon at the Giro today, Lionel. There's been a big yellow ball of light in the sky, and it's emitting, it's radiating heat, and it's radiating light. And I don't know, I haven't seen this at least for the last 10 days anyway.
Well, yeah, the sun has shone. It's not warmed up very much, but the sun did at least come out a bit today. And San Giovanni Rotondo is, well, it's the religious, is it the religious centre of Italy, an important place of pilgrimage for Italian Catholics or Catholics from all over the world?
It's the, yeah, I mean, the Vatican is not part of Italy, is it? Is it? Do we consider the Vatican part of
Italy? It's in Vatican City, isn't it? Separate for whatever reason.
Excluding the Vatican, it's certainly the religious centre of Italy.
It's not. You said it might remind me of Lourdes. It's not as quite as tacky as Lourdes. Going to be a bit careful here. I'm not a religious person, so a lot of this kind of washes over me a little bit. But just down below us is a souvenir shop where, well, there's a sort of 20 or 30 garden gnome sized Padre Pios, and Padre Pio is somebody who I heard about for the first time today, showing my ignorance of religious matters here. But an important figure, and a much more recent figure than I had assumed. He was born in the late 19th century and died only in 1968, but a very important figure.
Been reading about his miracles today?
Miracles, his ability to, well, a sort of almost soothsaying kind of...
Mystic.
Mystic, yeah, that's it. He looks a bit like Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars.
He does look very like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're looking at one of the life-size golden sculptures that are for sale just a few meters from the press room.
Well, I'm actually heading home this evening for a couple of days, and I'm wondering, would one of those fit in my hand luggage, perhaps for the lawn at
home?
You
might fit in his hand luggage. It's huge.
Anyway, let's recap stage six, shall we? It was 238 kilometres from Cassino to San Giovanni Rotondo, the second longest stage of the race by just a kilometre. And as we said yesterday, well, it didn't take a genius to work out that the break would go to the finish, but in order to do that, it would have to have some firepower in it. And it had some impressive rouleurs, baroudeurs in the... What's the Italian equivalent of that?
Let me think.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. I've stumped him.
Go on. Carry on. It'll come to me.
But it took a while for the break to
rouleurs,
fall.
Rouleurs. Passista.
Okay, good. So...
It took
about 50 kilometres for the break proper to form. Lots of stuff was going on before that, and some of the riders who eventually made it were active in the early kilometres. But it kind of formed in two halves, really, with Valerio Conti, the eventual pink jersey wearer this evening, in the first part, and Fausto Masnada, the eventual stage winner, in the second part. The riders who went up the road first included Jose Joaquin Rojas of Movistar, Ruben Plaza of the Israel Cycling Academy, Nans Peters of AG2R, Peter Seri of De Koenig Quickstep, and they were later joined by Masnada, Andre Amador, another Movistar rider.
Former pink jersey.
He got the pink jersey in a similar sort of break to this, didn't he, a few years ago. Giovanni Carboni of Bardiani. Now, he was my kind of tip to take the pink jersey today, because I thought of the last night's GC, he might be the first rider that they would allow to get away. I didn't bank on them letting somebody like Valerio Conti go away and get quite so much time. Also in there, Sam Oman of Sunweb, Nicola Conchi of Trek Segafredo, Amaro Antunes of CCC, and Valentin Madouas of Groupama. And, well, the break got its gap in sort of steps, really. It didn't go right out and then sort of come back in. It was hovered around sort of 4 or 5 minutes, and it was only really on the last couple of climbs that it went up to over 7 minutes. Masnada, who you may remember won a couple of stages of the Tour of the Alps last month, he made his move with around 28 kilometres to go on the Coppa Casorinelli climb. Is that right, Daniel?
You've dropped me in it, Lionel. Oh, you've dropped me in it. I was distracted for a moment.
Well, that's where he went anyway. Okay. I'm just clarifying the pronunciation here.
Okay. Where is it? Show me the word and I'll tell you how it's pronounced. Casorinelli.
Not bad. Valerio Conti reacted, and the pair of them then worked well together to take it all the way to the finish. We were speculating about whether there'd be some kind of agreement, because Conti stood to take the pink jersey. Would that mean that he'd allow Masnada to win the stage? And I guess kind of stuck to his word, really, there. We don't know whether there was a firm agreement, but that seemed to make the most sense when they came to sorting out the finish. The other significant thing that happened today was that Primoz Roglic had a crash after around 34 kilometres. Also, Rafał Majka went down. Roglic rode along for quite a long time with the back, one buttock of his shorts completely missing the pink jersey. But as we gather at the finish here, No damage, no lasting damage from that particular crash, just a bit of discomfort. Overall, though, Roglic is now 5 minutes 24 behind Valerio Conti. All the other breakaway riders are also ahead of Roglic, but the GC riders all stay the same in relation to one another. But as you say, Daniel, the pink jersey will probably rest on Conti's shoulders for the foreseeable future, because his lead over Giovanni Carboni is 1 minute 41.
The fastest clothing in the World Tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner with EF Education First and Canyons Run.
Thank you very much to Rafa for sponsoring the cycling podcast, not just while we're here at the Giro d'Italia, but all year round. We'll be covering the three Grand Tours. Thanks to Rafa's sponsorship and the sponsorship of Science and Sport and our friends of the podcast as well, that all play a part in enabling us to be here. Rafa are launching their Aero range, an Aero jersey for men and women, Aero suit also for men and women, and Pro Team bib shorts. And these are being worn by the EF Education First team. It's been developed in the wind tunnel. It's taken years to develop with the help of aerodynamicists. And they've looked at six specific things in the design and construction of the garments to enable the rider to cheat the wind, so to speak, and improve their ride. So they've taken years to develop these products in order to save you seconds. And if you want to check out the Aero range, go to rafa.cc. Also check out the Pedaleur de Charme range of jerseys and t-shirts and caps. We'll be awarding the first Pedaleur de Charme t-shirt to one of the riders from the Giro d'Italia after the weekend. Keep your nominations coming on Twitter if you see some charming pedalling. Oh, Daniel, look who it is. That's not just the Italian national anthem for Ciro Scognamiglio of La Gazzetta dello Sport, but it's an Italian day on the Giro with a stage win and the pink jersey.
Dear listeners, I'm really happy for this. You have also to consider that this means much work for me. It will be really a long, long day. But I'm happy for these young Italian guys. Why not?
Ciro, Masnada is l'Anguilla di Brembilla, the eel of Brembilla, which is a village just which side of Bergamo is it? I'm not sure. But what's Conti's nickname?
Valerio, it's difficult, I mean, immediately to find a real name for Valerio. He's a guy that started, he is only 25, but he's pro since a lot of years already. He's from the region of Rome, and this is not so common for Italian cyclists, you know. About his nickname, I have to think about this, dear listener, and next time I will reveal it.
Well, there he goes.
No, yeah, they are, both of them.
Both of them. We are live, yes.
L'Anguilla di Brembilla. Got a smile. Got a little smile from him.
Yeah, exactly.
And Conti's gone the other way.
He's gone in the lift, I think. Valerio Conti's gone in the lift. But Masnada's riding down the hill there.
He's riding into San Giovanni Rotondo. We need to, Ciro, while you're here, we mustn't let up. We mustn't give up this opportunity to ask your opinion on San Giovanni Rotondo, which is kind of like the Lord. I'm not saying anything, I'm not judging, but it's kind of like the Lord of Italy.
You know, the architecture of this village, in my opinion, this town, it's not really beautiful, you know. It's sounds like certainly there are a lot of people that came here for religion, and so in this case, as Lourdes, you build up a lot of buildings but without really a meaning of real architecture. In my opinion, I mean, it's certainly an important place in Italy with a problem. You can imagine, and I don't want to say anything more.
Back to the cycling.
Perfect.
Conti, so he's from the generation of Fabio Aru, Mattia Cattaneo, no? They rode, they used to compete as amateurs, I think, no?
Yeah, well Aru born in 1990, Valerio 1993. Cattaneo and Haru are together. But Valerio, in any case, is a consistent rider. We can say that sometimes was really close to big victories and he arrived second on third. So I think this pink jersey can be really an important point for his career. We can reveal to our listeners that it was on the market for this year. Also, Trek Segafredo wanted him for next year, but very likely he's supposed to remain with the UAE Emirates team.
Yeah, Conti won a stage of the Vuelta a España in the Basque Country in 2016, and well, he came close-ish 2 years ago in the Giro, didn't he? The stage finish in Peschici, where
just up the road.
Yeah, where it was a tight turn, wasn't it, onto the final climb, and he slipped on that corner, and I think it was Gorka Izagirre won the stage. My question, as the two riders came to the finish, is what's more important, a stage win or the pink jersey?
In this case, I think that there is an agreement between the two riders. I mean, Conti was closer in the GC, and so in my opinion, in this case, these two things, I put them on the same level. But before leaving, there is also another important thing that I can say about Conti that maybe our listeners don't know. You see that in my mind, in my body, everywhere there is the shark. I always thinking about the shark, what he's doing, I mean, tactic of race, his life. But you really know that when he was amateur, under 23, Nibali grew up in Mastro Marco team in Tuscany, same team for which passed also our friend Valerio Conti. This is something I can define this in English, a kind of gift for our listeners.
Chute à l'arrière du peloton, cycling podcast team car, the back of the pack, please.
That's the voice of Seb Piquet, race radio at the Tour de France, to remind us to tell you that this episode of our Giro coverage is sponsored by OS Maps. For just £2.99 a month, you can get all the Ordnance Survey maps of Great Britain on your devices, laptop, computer, phone, plus lots of other great features. You can find new walking or cycling or running routes, create your own routes, view drone-like footage of your route with 3D flyovers, explore what's around you with their augmented reality so that when you're out and about, you can find out what's just over the next hill. And you can download and print your maps as well if you just like to read maps on paper, or if you're worried you might lose your mobile phone signal if you're out somewhere remote. So you can get a 7-day free trial at osmaps.uk or download from the App Store at £2.99 a month if you want to sign up for OS Maps. Now, maps and cycling are inextricably linked, aren't they? They go together like hand in glove, because you just imagine how did, in the old days, it must have started with the race directors and their teams sitting around with huge paper maps to plot the route. And when I was a child, I used to do very much the same thing. And Simon, the photographer, can vouch for this, because we grew up a couple of doors away from each other, and I basically forced him to take part in our own two-man, two-boy grand tours. And I'd plot the maps out on the dining room table, get the maps out on the dining room table, and plot the stages and make sure that all of the stage finishes suited me.
Funny you should talk about maps and how Grand Tours put together the lineup, because I was talking to the old Giro director Carmine Castellano the other day, and he was telling me about how, you know, the kind of debates that would go on about the altitudes of different mountains back in the days when it was very difficult to measure these things, and he would always insist, and the Giro has always insisted, they went by what was on the maps of the Touring Club Italiano.
Interesting. Well, when I was planning my stage races in Hertfordshire that would be traditionally held during half-term school holidays, I used to have one of those little wheels that you rolled along the roads, and it would tell you, according to the scale of the map, how far the stage would be. You don't need to do any of that anymore, because OS Maps does it all for you. Well, Ciro's run off, Daniel, always lifts my mood seeing Ciro after a stage. I wonder if in future years they'll make little garden gnome sized statues of Ciro Scognamiglio to pop in the garden.
Doubtless.
Do you think they'd be a big seller?
Without doubt. There was huge demand for the no Ciro, no Giro t-shirts, whenever you wear those, whenever I've worn them in the past, you get all sorts of people asking you if they're still, you know, they're still available. Chiro, though, he did slip up. We asked him what was Conti's nickname. He does have a nickname. Do you know what it is?
No.
Contador.
Oh.
It's true. It's true. Is it? That's not a joke. That's not a terrible joke.
Valerio Contador.
Yeah, and I think this dates back to the period we sort of referred to at the start of the show when he was really being talked up as the next big thing in Italian cycling. Lionel, this will maybe endear him even more to you. He likes carbonara. He likes tiramisu. Unfortunately, he can't eat or doesn't eat either of those dishes very often. You know, he's a cyclist. He has to take...
Can you not have carbonara?
Is, I suppose his nutrition very seriously?
Creamy, eggy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit heavy, maybe.
And a bit of a mainstay of Roman cuisine. He's from Rome, as we found out.
But he's not really a GC kind of rider, is he? Or is he? You know, the lead he's got. As the riders were coming in, I was asking a couple of people from Jumbo-Visma and overhearing other interviews with Jumbo-Visma riders. Were they happy with the time gap? And the fact that they let it go out to 7 minutes and 19 seconds by the finish line, having pegged it really at sort of 4 or 5, suggests that they're not particularly worried about Conti's long-term prospects. But he's certainly going to get through the next few days. It's unlikely he's going to lose 5 minutes and 24 in the time trial in San Marino, is it? So is he not going to keep the jersey till stage 12 when it goes over Pinerolo, over the climb to Pinerolo?
I think he might even keep it there. He should keep it there. I think the day where he might be in trouble is the summit finish on the, three quarters of the way up the Colle del Nivole, Ceresole Reale. I think
that's stage 13, I think, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. A week tomorrow, basically.
Yeah. And you know, he might even surprise us beyond that. His team's not had a particularly good week, or hadn't had a particularly good week until this point. He's lost Molano. Durasek has been implicated in the Operation Underlass doping scandal in Austria and Germany.
So they're down to 7. The head of medical at UAE Team Emirates is Jeroen Swart. We mentioned this a couple of days ago. We've seen him, but I haven't managed to catch up with him yet. Maybe you'll speak to him over the weekend, Daniel, while I'm away, or if not, we'll go and have a chat with him after the weekend or early next week. But it'll be interesting to get his perspective and get a little bit of an inside insight into that team. Obviously, after the week they've had to finish today with the pink jersey, and also the long-term prospects of keeping that pink jersey, a huge boost for them.
The cycling podcast at the Giro d'Italia is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you to Science in Sport for sponsoring the cycling podcast. Remember, you can get 25% off all Science in Sport products by going to scienceinsport.com, entering the code SISCP25 at the checkout. That's SISCP25 at the checkout. Daniel, it feels like the Giro a bit more today, not just because the sun came out and because the first Italian stage winner and the first Italian pink jersey, but because of a combination of all three of those things, really.
Yeah, we have been remarking upon the sort of lack of real protagonists so far. The sprint finishes have been interesting. Ackermann has really held the upper hand. I mean, he's the guy who's got 2 stage wins. The likes of Caleb Ewan haven't got any so far. But until today, there have been no real significant breakaway. It's been quiet on the GC front. Today, you know, you saw the first kind of storylines, really strong storylines developing. Conti will be a storyline for the next few days. I'm sure we're going to find out a lot more about him. Gianni Savio is always a storyline in his team, and they will go home happy now, whatever. It felt like more of a typical kind of undulating, unpredictable Giro kind of route. There's another one tomorrow which finishes at L'Aquila. We've finished at L'Aquila several times before, and often it's an uphill finish. Tomorrow's uphill finish doesn't look as hard as some of the ones that we've seen in the past, where we've seen sort of punchers and GC riders triumph. But you know, we said Conti will hold the jersey for probably a week. But tomorrow, his team might have to work quite hard in order to control the race, because there will be riders. You know, I'm thinking of guys like Thomas De Gendt, who was notable by his absence from the break today, who might be eyeing tomorrow's stage as another opportunity.
Just on today's finish, Daniel, you asked me the question as the two riders, Conti and Masnada, came to the finish. Obviously, we were talking there about, you know, what I asked Ciro what's, you know, the most important, the stage win or the pink jersey, not meaning that Masnada had a choice, because he couldn't have taken the pink jersey. He's 3.25 minutes down on Conti. But Conti had the chance to be greedy and do both, didn't he? He could have, you know, the pink jersey was pretty much in, you know, on his shoulders going into the last 3 or 4 kilometres. He could have stitched up Masnada there. I mean, you asked me what I would do, and I'm tempted to say that I would have probably tried to go for both. What about you?
I don't know, Lionel. I think...
Do you think that sort of thing rebounds on riders?
Well, that was what I was about to say. I mean, we're not party to, you know, conversations that were going on between them and between the teams either. And I'm sure there were conversations going on. And, you know, it may well be that we see Androni Sidamek on doing UAE the odd favour later on in the race.
Yeah, that's a good point. They might have to put their... puts a few bodies on the front of the bunch to help UAE in the coming days. That's one thing. Either that, or there's going to just be a massive haul. It's going to be like Christmas morning at the UAE team hotel with toys, a huge consignment of toys delivered to the foyer tomorrow morning by a grinning Gianni Savio. You mentioned the GC. I saw you chatting to Simon Yates, not chatting, you're interviewing Simon Yates this morning, Mitchelton Scots rider, this morning second overall, now still the second best placed of the Sirius GC riders. What was he saying?
Well, Napalm, this is kind of old beef now. This is sort of 2 days at the back of the fridge, kind of wouldn't pass a health inspection kind of beef, but it's the beef still between Landa and Yates, which wasn't really beef because they sort of apologised and diffused it. However, I thought I'd just check with Simon Yates whether he did have a chance to speak face to face with Mikel Landa in the peloton yesterday. Of course, they sort of cleared the air on Twitter, but this is what Simon Yates said.
Good chat with Landa yesterday.
Oh, he came and said sorry or whatever, but I didn't take any offence to it. Everybody gets a bit heated after a race. I didn't cause the crash. It was somebody crashed in front of me, so it wasn't. It doesn't matter really.
So that's all water under the bridge then between Yates and Landa. One other sort of significant thing on the GC, and I mean, I'm saying Roglic is still the number one contender or the best placed contender. I don't think we could consider Andre Amador as the same sort of threat as we maybe would have done 2-3 years ago for Movistar. Maybe not, but probably not. But Sam Omen, the young Dutchman riding for Team Sunweb, he is now roughly 30 seconds ahead of Roglic. That's not a terrible place to be now, considering Tom Dumoulin is not in the race and Sunweb's, you know, their tactics sheet had to be torn up completely. It will be interesting to see what he can do.
Yeah, and I remember being at the Sunweb team launch at the start of the year in Berlin, and there was some suggestion, not from Omen himself, but from some of the Dutch journalists, that it hadn't shaken out that well for him the way they were going to use Kelderman and Dumoulin and in the Grand Tours, and maybe Omen was going to have to put back his sort of personal ambitions another year in the Grand Tours. But he's found himself now not only with an opportunity to lead with Dumoulin gone, but also back where he would have wanted to be in the general classification, having previously lost a lot of time in the first week. So, you know, it's all to play for him.
Marco Haller, Katusha Alpecin.
Now, obviously, you need to go from A to B. If this city is paying and this city is paying, you need to get there. But it's definitely absolutely on the limit here, I would say. We were lucky with the weather, but the hard thing, for example, today is we also have 115k after the stage in the bus. So this is getting insane then, and maybe a little bit too much, but I don't mind.
Simon Yates, Mitchelton Scott.
Definitely have their place. Me personally, I prefer to race the shorter ones just because they, you know, it all happens very fast. I think it's more exciting for the fans. But there is a place. You know, all the Grand Tours, you know, they have to be pretty big distance, really. Otherwise, it's not really a Grand Tour anymore. I think there's pros and cons. Yeah, really. the same guys win after 140k or 240k. You know, maybe back in the day when some people were just winning from talent, or some guys weren't trained and they were only good for 100k or whatever. But now everybody's really well prepared. You know, everybody has really great training, nutrition, and whatever. So like I said, the same guys win. So in that regard, keeping to shorter stages is more exciting for everybody.
Marco Pinotti, head of performance, CCC team.
I think during a stage race is actually not so much as it is the stress for the length of the race is not so big. Depends on how they race. Like 2 days ago, they race not so hard because it was long. So generally, the longer the race, the more tranquillo the approach of the rider they have, especially in the Giro. While shorter stages can make up for 5 weeks from the start. But at the end of the race, of the 3 weeks, this is extra fatigue added to the rider that you don't feel it at the moment. So it's more critical, the recovery, and go to the hotel immediately after, because also today you had a long transfer coming here, 1.5 hours after coming back. So this is more important thing to look when the stage is long, when the stage is long.
It was all going so swimmingly, but as we were putting the episode together this evening, I realised that I'd had a problem with my recording equipment, and 3 short interviews I'd done at the start this morning has recorded as blank files. These things happen, but in the interest of transparency and to enable us to play the clips that Daniel recorded, Larry Warbass of AG2R said that he was happy to be back racing at Grand Tour level after missing all of last season's Grand Tours while he was with the Aqua Blue team. His no-go tour teammate Connor Dunn joked that he was going to ask Larry to carry his luggage if things got a bit tough later on in the Giro. And Matt White, the sports director of Mitchelton Scott, said very much what Simon Yates said, which is that if the stages were 1.5 hours or 2 hours shorter, you'd probably still get the same winners anyway. So Daniel, that was a few riders and sports directors from this morning. It feels like a long time ago because it was a long day, a long drive for us, and a long drive for the sports directors. Matt White there, the Mitchelton Scott sports director, just after I'd finished, he admitted that he always had a couple of cans of Red Bull in the side pocket of his team car, and just in case, because it's a long day in the car for the sports directors, a long day in the saddle. Well, 5.75 hours today. There'll be another few like this, maybe another 3 stages of this length. And when it's 200 plus kilometres in the mountains, they're 6-hour days as well, give or take. What's your thoughts now? I mean, it's just the character of the Giro, isn't it? It's kind of gone the opposite way to the Vuelta. They don't necessarily believe in the virtue of the short, punchy stage.
Yeah, I kind of think that it does affect the race, but in invisible ways that doesn't really achieve the result they want to achieve, which is making the race more palatable and more attractive to the public. And, you know, you heard Simon Yates there say that he thinks the same guys end up winning and same guys end up attacking. And I don't know. I mean, I admire this sort of devotion or commitment to a sort of traditional and almost an idealistic conception of Grand Tours, that they are endurance events, but they're not really endurance events in the same way that they were originally. They were originally set up to test athletes, humans' ability to make the distance. Could someone ride a bicycle 300 kilometers? We all know someone can ride a bicycle 230 kilometers, which is the distance they did today, or 238. So they don't no longer serve quite the same purpose. They are bike races are races now, and they are built and created for audiences, television audiences, maybe mainly. You know, that end I think is probably best served with shorter stages, and unfortunately, because you know there's also a different dimension. There's the kind of epic dimension of a Grand Tour, the fact that it covers, you know, from purely logistical, physical point of view, it covers a large portion of a country. And I think in the case of the Giro this year, they simply wanted to cover long distances, get as far south as possible in a short amount of time, and they didn't also want to impose very long transfers on riders, teams, journalists, which is something they've been criticised for in the past.
Absolutely. Well, my first block on the Giro d'Italia ends this evening. I'm heading home for a couple of days. Will you be alright on your own?
I will, Lionel. I'll miss you at mealtimes.
Of course.
I'll miss foisting regional delicacies upon you, down your neck.
Indeed, but I'll be back on Sunday for the time trial, Riccione to San Marino. That promises to be significant for the general classification and the long-term destination of the pink jersey.
Talking of San Marino, we rather embarrassingly hesitated over the status of the Vatican City earlier today, and it's a city-state.
So it is. Did you just look that up?
Yes.
Before I go, just a reminder to keep an ear out for Kilometre Zero. Episode 3 will be released in the morning. That's Kilometre Zero, sponsored by Hansgrohe, not just here at the Giro, but also at the Tour de France and the Vuelta later on this summer. Episode 3 focuses on the man who was at the centre of one of the most controversial incidents of the 2004 Tour de France. And if you were watching the Tour back then, you may remember the name Filippo Simeoni. Well, Daniel went off to meet Simeoni and we'll have the full story of what happened in that Tour. Episode 1 was on Bologna, and episode 2 of Kilometre Zero looked at fatherhood and the Grand Tours, inspired really by Conor Dunn, whose partner Stacey gave birth to their baby just 10 days before the Giro got underway. All those episodes are online now. Thank you very much to Hansgrohe for sponsoring the series, and congratulations to Paul Ballantyne, who has won Hansgrohe's competition to win a Peter Sagan signed Bora Hansgrohe jersey and a Hansgrohe shower. If you'd like to enter a future Hansgrohe competition, then check out Hansgrohe on Twitter at Hansgrohe_UK. I promised a listener who got in touch that I would only mention once prior to departure and once after my return to talk about my reason for a brief departure from the Giro. There's a couple of reasons, actually. One is because a very good friend of mine called Simon Ricketts, who was a journalist, I worked for The Guardian, he died at Christmas. He was a big fan of the podcast, always used to give very constructive feedback on our Grand Tour coverage, loved our little deviations off into the countryside, tasting food and wine. And there is a memorial for him tomorrow morning at St. Bride's Chapel, the church in Fleet Street, which of course is kind of the spiritual home of British journalism. So I will be going to that in the morning. Simon the photographer, have not seen for a while. We've got a very long drive to Rome Airport this evening. Daniel, you made the comment that this is pretty much the hardest corner of Italy to easily get back to London from. And then on Saturday, it is the FA Cup final between my team, Watford, and Manchester City. And I will be at Wembley to watch that. Now, by coincidence, your dad pointed out that the Giro will finish in Pesaro on Saturday night. Pesaro, sorry.
The superstition doesn't work if you pronounce it wrong.
Well, Pesaro. How do you know whether it's Pesaro or Pesaro?
I'm afraid, Napalm, you don't.
You just have to
know. It's like Nibali rather than Nibali, or Cunego rather than Cunego. You don't.
Right. Well, anyway, in Pesaro, and it just so happens that Pesaro is one of Watford's twin towns. Extraordinary. If it's the Italian Watford, well, have an enjoyable evening in Pesaro, Daniel. It seems fairly fitting that I'm leaving the Giro here in the sort of the religious centre of Italy. Do you think I should perhaps head off and say a quick prayer for Watford before the cup final, Daniel?
I think you definitely need one of Padre Pio's miracles, Lionel.
Right. Well, on that note, you'll be back tomorrow, Daniel, with who knows who.
I don't
who
know
knows
what I'm going to do tomorrow. I've no idea how to make a podcast. Never done it before.
It's going to be brilliant. Yeah, it's going to be like a free-form jazz version of the cycling podcast.
It's going to be a humdinger.
Yeah, well, I'll be listening to it. I'll listen to both episodes when I come back on the plane on Sunday, and I will see you in San Marino. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Lionel. Basta che non si sciuto.